ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If I had to pick one word to describe America's history in the Middle East, I'd probably go with mistake.
But it was, the Americans believe, all a dreadful mistake.
The backpackers crossed the poorly marked border by mistake.
The war in Iraq was a big, fat mistake.
So why is it happening again? I'm Matt Bevan, and on my show, if you're listening, we actually try to learn from the world's mistakes. Find us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the Iran war ceasefire over? With Iran firing on the UAE again and the US destroying Iranian military boats, it looks that way. But what should we expect next after Donald Trump launched so-called Project Freedom to rescue commercial ships stranded in the Strait of Hormuz? Today, a former Australian Navy warfare officer has travelled through the Strait, Jennifer Parker, on how it might all play out. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
The shaky ceasefire in the Middle East is under fresh pressure tonight, with US President Donald Trump ordering a major operation involving thousands of troops and aircraft.
President Trump has said that the United States Navy has escorted two ships, but two ships really won't mean anything. It's like a drop in the oil, if you like.
The US military says it's destroyed six Iranian gunboats and intercepted multiple attempted strikes on the UAE.
This comes after Tehran launched multiple cruise missiles, drones and small boats at American Navy ships and commercial vessels.
Jennifer, Iranian drones and missiles have been launched at the UAE. Iran has fired at American warships. Iranian boats have been destroyed by the US military. Are we at this point moving back to a full-scale war? Is the ceasefire over, in your view?
Well, look, it would seem, given that the UAE has come under attack, that we are seeing a return to the hot war. And it was a fairly significant attack. So at least 15 missiles, 12 of which were ballistic missiles, and a range of drones. So Iran was always going to respond significantly to any US attempts to free up shipping going through that strait. And that's what we've seen in the last 24 hours.
As a former naval officer, you have been to the Strait of Hormuz before. Now, there are, of course, at the moment, a whole heap of ships, mainly cargo ships, stranded there because of this blockade, this dual blockade by Iran and the United States.
What has happened is because ships have been attacked, civilian ships have been attacked by Iran, they have predominantly stopped going through the strait. So normally you'd see 138 go through the strait a day. Sometimes we're seeing 5 or 6, sometimes 12, most of those linked to Iran. We have about 2,000-ish ships trapped inside the Gulf and probably about 20,000 sailors. And those ships that are trapped in there sitting in anchorages have been attacked by Iran. So I imagine for any merchant mariner sitting in there, it would be an incredibly intense situation because it's not clear how Iran is determining what ships it attacks. So you'd be sitting there thinking, I might be attacked at any moment. You're having shortages of water and food. It's quite a dire situation for the civilian merchant mariners trapped in the Gulf.
Yes, because these are, as you mentioned, civilian ships. So there's 20,000 seafarers stuck on these ships in the strait. Presumably they'd like to get home, go back to their families. I mean, how difficult would it be for them right now? What would the conditions be like, do you think?
Yeah, I think it would be incredibly difficult. And this is one of the things, when we report on these kind of incidents around the world, we often forget about the plight of merchant mariners, who are the people who actually make our maritime trade and our international economy work. I think they likely have shortages of water, likely shortages of food, living under constant fear of bombardment, probably little communications with their family. We've seen some merchant mariners do interviews, etc. But the problem is when you use communications like that, you're very much giving away your position and increasing your ability to be targeted. So I think they would have limited communications with their family and no clear end in sight as to when they can get out.
All right. So, Jennifer, Donald Trump, he's begun this so-called Project Freedom that's about freeing these stranded ships. He says it's a humanitarian action.
The president made the announcement on Truth Social. He said that he was answering the call of many countries who aren't actually involved in this war. He called them innocent bystanders, but who have been really deeply impacted by being caught up in the Strait of Hormuz.
But what does that involve exactly? What resources has the US put into this?
So the US haven't been clear about exactly what it entails, but they have said that they have put 15,000 sailors and marines on the task, over 100 sea-based and land-based aircraft, and a number of destroyers, guided missile destroyers, so surface combatants. We've seen some guided missile destroyers go through the strait, and some are now operating inside the Arabian Gulf or the Persian Gulf, which we haven't seen a lot of that since the conflict began. And they're encouraging ships to transit out south of what is called the traffic separation scheme. So in an international strait, you generally have a traffic separation scheme, which is where ships should go in and out. Think of it as a roadway. It's not drawn on the water, but think of it as a roadway. Now, Iran has claimed that they have mined that, and it looks like they probably have with some of the confirmation from the US in the last 24 hours. So the US is saying that ships should exit the Arabian Gulf, hugging the Omanian coast south of that traffic separation scheme. And we've seen what looks to be a change in the rules of engagement for the US Navy. So now it looks like if Iran tries to attack merchant shipping, they will now sink any of those Iranian vessels or shoot down those drones and missiles.
Okay, but it all sounds highly dangerous.
It is highly dangerous. One of the concerns here is Iran has said that they control the strait. Now, they don't own that strait. It's an international strait. Some of it goes through their territorial waters. Iran has said that after this conflict is finished, they want to continue to exert control and toll, so charge any ships going through the strait. That would fundamentally undermine global maritime trade. Because the US have not really been interfering with Iranian ships, harassing or shooting at vessels since the ceasefire began, in some ways they've allowed Iran to demonstrate control of the strait. And this is why I think it's important that the US is now starting to defend those ships.
But what about Iran's capability? I mean, Donald Trump, he did say before this operation began that any attempt to stop it would be dealt with forcefully. But what power does Iran have at this point? It already, we can see, has fired on US warships.
Yeah, so the biggest advantage Iran has is it dominates the northern coast of the Persian Gulf, the Strait of Hormuz, and the Gulf of Oman. What that means is even if it only has limited military capability left, so a few missiles, drones, small boats, etc., it can still enact a disproportionate impact on that strait by attacking ships because it's so easy because of their geographic dominance. So we don't know how much capability they have left. Clearly, given the strikes on the UAE and some ships, they still have significant capability. I think the question now is if the US is going to start taking out Iranian ships that are targeting shipping and defending those ships, will Iran get to the point where they say, well, it's actually not worth us exerting the effort here because we're diminishing our already diminished stocks?
Oh, interesting. All right. But you mentioned again there the UAE, it is being attacked again. I mean, how could it respond to all of this? Abu Dhabi has said that it's a dangerous escalation and it's reserved the right to respond. Could the whole region be drawn into this at this point? Could it escalate further, in your view?
So it could escalate further. So clearly Iran sees that its capability is not effective enough to really hurt the US, but it can hurt the US's capabilities by hurting the US's partner nations. Now, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, etc., have not responded by attacking Iran in self-defense. I think we are seeing a changing in some of the language used by some of the leaders in those countries. I think if the UAE, which has a very capable air force, does start striking Iran, then the length of this conflict is going to be prolonged and it does enter a new dangerous era. At this stage, I think the UAE are probably unlikely to do that, despite the fact that we're seeing their language change, because really they don't want this conflict to be prolonged. And so I think it is unlikely at this stage.
Well, Jennifer, the US is now asking, pressuring, urging China to enter this, to push Iran to reopen the strait. But as you say, if Tehran has managed to get this sort of stronghold over that waterway, why would it do that? Is there any possibility that Iran will just say, okay, let's reopen it?
Look, eventually that strait will open, mm-hmm. or ships will be encouraged to go through. It's a matter of time. But that isn't necessarily comforting, because that time could be weeks, it could be months. The reason it will eventually open is there is an economic imperative for Iran, for the Gulf states, and even an economic imperative for China. China is heavily dependent on the importation of certain oil. A significant amount of that comes from Iran. And so I think that that's reasonable to ask China to lean on Iran. Will that be effective? These peace talks and the status of the ceasefire, none of the stuff that's been put in the public domain has really been clear in terms of what are the conditions of the ceasefire, what are the struggling points in the peace talks. In fact, to be honest, it's not even really clear who's in charge in Iran.
Well, Australia, of course, it has been in talks, Jennifer, with other nations on ensuring the strait stays open. But, I mean, would we and other US allies at some point actually get involved in this, given we've resisted for so long?
Well, the US has announced that they intend to establish what's called a maritime freedom construct at the end of this conflict. Of course, we're not necessarily clear when the end will be. That is about a semi-permanent force with a diplomatic arm that is meant to be ensuring freedom of navigation through the strait and applying both diplomatic and military pressure to Iran if they continue to try and attack shipping post the end of this conflict. We know that European countries, so UK, France, have been talking about establishing their own construct or coalition. We know that Australia has been in talks with them both militarily and diplomatically, but we don't really know what that looks like. So will Australia become involved in ensuring freedom of navigation in the strait post this conflict? Look, I suspect we probably will. What that involvement looks like, difficult to say. Probably some naval planners, maybe a maritime patrol aircraft and diplomatic support, probably not a ship.
All right. So what, in your view, though, comes next? Are we now shifting into a new stage of this war and a resumption of fighting?
I think we're definitely shifting into a new stage of this war. And the new stage is the US now trying to exert pressure on the Strait of Hormuz to free up shipping. I've been pretty surprised throughout this conflict that this is not something they had done earlier. In fact, they have in some ways allowed Iran to dominate that strait. You know, 2.5 weeks ago, we saw the foreign minister of Iran say the strait was open. Within 24 hours, we saw Iranian small boats start firing on an Indian tanker and then some other vessels. I was quite surprised that the US did not take out those vessels. And so now we're seeing the US show resolve in terms of trying to stop Iran from attacking ships in the strait. Iran is not going to be happy with that. They've said very clearly if any US warships transit the strait, they're going to respond. And so we will see some escalation from Iran. Now, whether this is prolonged or not really depends on the status of those now third-party negotiations, which really isn't clear in the public domain.
But as you said, you think eventually the Strait of Hormuz will be opened, but how long can Iran and America, for that matter, hold on?
Well, look, I think the US can withstand the pressure. There's a lot of, you know, I'm not an expert on US domestic politics. There's a lot of reporting about what this means for midterms and polls reflecting that the US domestic or the US population is not very much not supportive of what President Trump is doing here. In terms of the economic pressure, the US can likely withstand that. Iran will struggle. So in terms of if they can't get their oil exports out through this US naval blockade, that is a significant proportion of their GDP and their government spending. But beyond that, it's actually a significant proportion of the funding of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. And so that will have an impact on them. How long does it take for that to impact them to the point where they want to agree terms around nuclear enrichment, etc.? Look, honestly, it is hard to say.
But we're talking weeks, months, not years.
Yes. In terms of the economic pressure, yes, I'd say weeks, months, not years, but not days.
Jennifer Parker is a former Australian warfare officer and an adjunct professor with the University of Western Australia's Defence and Security Initiative. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.